Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:47 Irish Summer Time. Today is April 23rd, and it's been a relatively quiet day on stock markets. You had the Dow Jones up about almost 43 points. It had been up at almost 100 points or in excess of 100 points earlier on in the day. But what we see is that the Dow and the S&P are relatively steady here towards the top of their range. Slightly above the top of their range over the last 3 months, and the Nasdaq continues to lead the way. Apple's results beat analyst expectations, although the stock was relatively quiet in here today. I think that expectation had been priced in, and we continue to see that information technology firms in the Nasdaq are coming out with earnings surprises in this quarter. That is at least in part due to the weak dollar, and a lot of these companies have very healthy multinational businesses and they're consolidating their foreign earnings in dollars. So that is reflecting well for earnings in this season. Of course, we have said on a number of occasions over the last few months that the US economy is two-tier. You have the consumer discretionary part of the economy, or the domestic economy, in really rather deep recession. Discount companies such as Walmart or Costco are doing really rather well in this environment, but also the multinational side of the economy. And let's not forget that the US has a very high proportion of companies that have global brand names and are continuing to do very well from their international businesses, even though their domestic business is slowing down. So that will certainly help to support earnings for at least part of the universe of companies reporting over the next few months, or sorry, few weeks, excuse me. Looking at further afield, you have the Hang Seng, which was up over 1% today, and that is very quietly pushing above the consolidation we've seen over the last 3 months. The same can be said of the H shares. Tomorrow is going to be an interesting day in China, because we have had 2 days on the upside, and three has been unusual over the last few months. And if we were to have 4 or 5 days on the upside, this would be a clear indication that the downtrend is starting to lose momentum and interest is returning to this market. We're still in very early days for calling a low in the market, but it certainly looks like we're getting there. Looking at some of these other markets, the Taiwanese market continues to outperform in the Asian region. Of course, this is sort of a case of those that are last shall be first, because obviously Taiwan has underperformed quite considerably for a number of years. And when you look at the monthly chart and look at as much history as we have in the chart library in excess of 20 years, you'll see that it's coming up towards the 10,000 level, which has been an area of resistance on a number of occasions. But once it sustains a move above that area, there's quite a bit of open territory, and I don't have any doubt really that it's going to sustain a move above that level sometime this year. Also, you see that Thailand is performing rather well. Again, this one has been a laggard, but the political situation there is improving daily, and it does look like interest is returning to that particular market. Of course, the commodity producers have done particularly well over the last few months, and that continues to be the case. South Africa was one of the few markets that has actually broken upwards to new high ground. That was certainly helped by the weakness of the rand. The Canadian market, although weaker in here today following the rate cut that we had yesterday, that has helped to weaken the Canadian dollar by almost a full cent in here today, and the Canadian dollar is up to $1.01.66 as I speak. But what is helping to weaken the Canadian dollar should help to benefit the stock market. Of course, Canada being really quite overweight in financials, but also in those resources companies. Resources companies are booking excellent earnings at the moment for the most part, and lower interest rates will certainly help that particular sector, as it will do for the banking sector. Australia is also was relatively firm in here today as well, up almost 1.6%. And Brazil, although a little bit weaker, continues to be very close to its all-time highs. The all-time highs are just above 65,000, and the index is just below 65,000 in here today. So that is certainly something to watch. This has been lengthy consolidation for Brazil over the last 3 or 4 months. It's been very steady holding around these all-time highs, and it does look like it will be one of the next markets to break upwards and make new highs over the next weeks and months. The bond market continues to look like an extended top formation, particularly on those treasuries. But when you have treasuries down to 116.29 in here today, they are looking a little bit overstretched on the downside, and the short-term rally right across the government bond sector is probably not out of the question in here right now. A test of the highs that we saw back in January, I think, is probably out of the question. But in the short term, there is potential for a rally, which will probably be used by a good number of traders as a shorting opportunity. Precious metals, because of the weakness of the, sorry, the strength of the dollar in here today, and also because this does very much look like a medium-term correction, we see that silver, having been as high as almost $18, was down around 17.13 at towards the close. Gold was down in excess of $10, down to $904 at the close, and platinum, having treaded just below 2,000 earlier in the session, closed just above 2,000. Because of those massive downward dynamics that we saw about a month ago, and the really quite sharp pullback, sharp and swift pullback that we've seen, this does indicate that we're going to be in a medium-term correction. But given the fact that the precious metals have found support rather quickly and have been relatively steady over the last number of weeks, potentially means that the consolidation, although potentially lengthy and could be upwards of a year, may actually be quite tight, with a baby steps tactic probably being the one that is going to be most successful in making money. In other words, buying into the dips and selling the rallies. Personally, I'm not going to be doing that because I think there is also the risk that we could see some further downside in the precious metals. I think it will require a little bit more base or support building to justify re-entering the market. And the energy complex, well, the oil price has encountered a little bit of resistance around $120, but this is a remarkably consistent uptrend, and it really would need a pullback in excess of about $13 to tell us that this was a bigger consolidation than we've seen previously. Over the last 12 to 18 months, there's been a number of small consolidations. None of them have been bigger than $13. The last two have been almost exactly the same, $13 in amplitude, although certainly not the duration has been similar. And that is a consistency characteristic that we often see in uptrends, or indeed in downtrends. The most consistent factor in most trends is the size of the reactions within the trend, and often the least consistent is how much it moves in between those consolidations, and that has certainly been true of the oil price. So if we see the oil price falling back in excess of $13 and sustaining that move, well then that will be a clear indication that something has changed in the dynamics of the supply and demand dynamics. There's no evidence that that's happening just yet. Natural gas was also a little bit firmer in here today, up to almost $11. It's holding very well above $10. This does look like an upward break, and it remains a trend in motion and relatively consistent for what is usually a very volatile commodity. The grains have also experienced those sharp downward dynamics, and apart from the obvious candidates of rough rice, which made another new high on the front month this today, although if you look at the second month, it is no longer making new highs, which does indicate that the shortage of supply is very short term. And given the acceleration that we're seeing, it will be interesting to see whether, when this front month contract rolls into the next one, whether there is going to be that shortage of supply on that further out month. Certainly something to keep an eye on, and you'll see the backwardation chart in the chart library, which has absolutely expanded out to a level not seen in the last 15 or 16 years. But when that backwardation chart starts to turn down, it's going to be a clear indication again that that market has reached a high of significance. But soybeans, having had a good day yesterday, were a little bit weaker in here today. Wheat, having broken down, is continuing to look like a medium-term correction, and the same can be said for many of the other grains and the other soft commodities, such as coffee and sugar and cocoa. We've had a lot of speculative interest in the soft commodities and a lot of money chasing them in the first quarter. Some of that has certainly been pulled out of it in the last month or so, and it probably will take some time before we get that speculative interest pushing back into the agricultural sector. But this is a secular bull market, and there is almost no chance of these pulling back into their overall basis when you look at those longer term charts, and they have quite a lot of upward potential. I was looking at the chart of Archer Daniels, in here, Archer Daniels, or yes, that's what it's called, excuse me, earlier on today, and I remember that making serious headlines back in 2006 as it accelerated upwards, and it consolidated for much of the last couple of years. But now it's starting to pressure the highs again. And this is rather interesting because they had bought so many of those ethanol producers, and they are primarily processors of grains for feed mix and that sort of thing. But it broke upwards 3 days ago and has so far held on to that gain, which tells us that interest in the shares for these company or for this sector continues to be quite robust. And while the commodities themselves have entered a medium-term correction, the earnings potential for many of these companies continues to be quite high. The same can be said primarily for those gold miners, because gold prices may have stopped going upwards and they may be in a medium-term correction, but gold is still at $900, platinum is in excess of $2,000, and silver is in excess of $17. And that should be feeding through to considerable earnings for many of the gold mining and precious metal mining companies. The HUI index, or sorry, the Gold Bugs index, has pulled back over the last few weeks. But I'm hesitant to be too bearish of it because you will have so many of these companies coming out probably with earning surprises when they start to report the earnings that they've made over the last few months, where we've had record highs and really quite robust prices for so many of these precious metals. So while the precious metals themselves are in a medium-term correction, the shares should do better than the actual metals in this type of environment. And with that thought, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a nice evening.